That'd be great. So I'm just really encouraged, folks. You guys are doing a phenomenal job as a Sunday school class. You've taken the bull by the horns, and you have pretty much diminished this. For sure, we've given out more than 750 tracts. If you still have tracts at home, or are still sitting on your shelf, or still in your car, that's okay. You still got time. What's our goal? What's our date goal? What's our
December
10th, right? So we got plenty of time. But don't let that discourage. Don't let that. What's the word I'm looking for? Micah, the slide before that one, please. Don't think, oh, I got time. No, the time is now.
That's right.
There's somebody out there that needs the Lord, that needs salvation, that needs direction, that needs guidance. And we can't wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
We can't.
That's good.
The time is now.
Yeah.
For all we know, the Lord can come back this afternoon. For all we know, he can come right now.
Amen. That's right.
That would be something. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. So, as you all know, our theme verse for this particular lesson is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, key words here, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Himself for you.
Yeah, that's right,
folks. You're like, we'll see. Turn in your Bibles to Romans, and we'll look at chapter 7. Specifically, the context of this lesson, as you see, hopefully all of you got a sheet this morning. Amen. If you did not, you can raise your hand. That's okay. I've got plenty. Pastor needs one. My wife needs one. Miss Jennifer needs one. And Tony is out there, and he cannot hear me. And Joey, thanks. I appreciate it. You've heard me before. I wish that this particular lesson had books, because I really like to have you guys have books. But that's okay. But we'll look at verse, again, the context of this particular lesson is Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. But I'll just read one particular verse right now. That's verse 18. But Mike, if you go to the next slide. The next slide is going to be this particular lesson, which I'm really excited about because I've been really burdened for the fact that, man, we need a relationship with our Savior. It doesn't need to be religion. And you're kind of looking at the ladder here. You're looking at the very top. It says religion. I'll get to that in a minute. But folks, it's come a time that now is the time to develop a personal relationship with our Savior. Each and every one of you really needs to grasp that. And you may not have a relationship with him, but it's always something that we should always grow and continue to develop until we meet our Savior, right? So three things that I want you to take out of this particular lesson. The next slide, Micah. Number one is this. See our relationship with Christ through a biblical perspective of sonship, okay? Number two is have clear expectations of the struggle of the Christian life. Do we all go through struggles even though we're Christians?
Yes.
And everything's not hunky-dory, things are just maybe not going as well as we wanted to. Right? No. Thank you for turning that on. Appreciate that. And number three, be encouraged to continue. Turn me down just a little bit, Micah. Be encouraged to continue in our, first of all, Micah, thank you for stepping up to the plate. It's awesome. Getting the young kids and getting them doing stuff. And thank you for stepping up, Micah. I appreciate that. Be encouraged to continue in our walk with the Lord because of our acceptance of him. Be encouraged to continue in the walk. When things are going rough or things are going tough, when things are just not going the way you want them to, be encouraged that, hey, we have a Savior that understands and knows because we have a relationship with him and he can get us through it.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Not to say that we're going to go through things. We all go through things. But he can help us through those things. Right? Okay, so let's look at Romans chapter 7, look at verse 18. This particular passage of Scripture is talking about Paul and the struggles of the two natures, right? The old nature and the new nature. And we'll look at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in the flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Man, even Paul himself, one of the greatest Christians to ever live, who was bold, who was eager, who was ready to spread the gospel all over the world, he even struggled, right? So what a great example to know that, man,
If you ever think to yourself, man, I can't attain, I can't be like Paul. I can't do what he did. Yes, you can. Because Paul struggled the same way you did, or you do, right? We all go through that, right? So let's pray. Dear Father, again, thank you so much for this particular lesson. It's encouragement to me. And Father, I pray that it'll just be a blessing to those that are here. Again, I thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Give us a good morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, for many Christians, or some people might think the Christian life is just but religion, right? It's just something, the motions that we go through. It's what we just do, right? We come to Sunday morning. We come to Sunday night. We come to Wednesday night. We go to prayer. We go on visitation. We do all these things, but, you know, it's just kind of like going through the motions, right? It's that religious factor, per se. It's like a moral code, right, of what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to do, right? It's that high standard of what it says here, an ethical behavior, right? We kind of just, we do our thing because that's what we always done. You know, praise the Lord, we're saved, but, you know, it's like, just do what we got to do, right? We just go through the motions, right? And there's more to it, and that's where that relationship factor comes in. And a couple things here. It says religion is sometimes about behaving well for God, isn't it? Put your suit on, put your tie on, and I'm going to behave very well for the Lord. You know, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to behave. I'm going to do good. Well, there's more to it. And that is what we call, and it says right here, which is I totally agree with, that particular mentality is a performance-based acceptance. Performance-based. You're going to perform what you think is good in the right of the Lord based on your performance. There's more to that, right? More to that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Man, this life with Jesus is supposed to be comforting, hopeful. It is supposed to be upward in grace, not downward in discouragement. And what does religious do? Our religion does. It's a task. It's downward, full of discouragement. But we cannot reach what we want to attain in the Lord. Right? We need to have that relationship with Him. So number one in your little handout there is establishing a biblical framework. Establishing a biblical framework. When you think of your Christian life, think relationship, not religion, okay? Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, the first part of that particular verse, that I may know Him, that you may know Him intimately, know Him as your Savior, know Him as your, comforter. Know Him in your time of trouble, you can know Him. And He can be there for you. You were given a new life in a close relationship with Him, with an intimate Savior and Redeemer, right? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians, if you don't have this particular verse marked, I would encourage you to do so. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Man, sealed. Now, does anybody understand the history of a seal? Right? So when a letter was sent to something else, there was that seal, right? And I like the little note in my Bible. It says this: the sealer in this particular verse is Jesus. The seal is the Holy Spirit. In biblical times, a seal donated both identification of ownership and protection provided by the owner. Praise the Lord! I am sealed by our Savior, and nothing can take that away from you. Can't take that away from me. Nobody can take it away from me. The devil can't take it away from me. His little minions can't take it away from me. I am sealed by our Savior. Praise the Lord for that. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I would love to show you from God's Word how you can also be sealed and be saved and redeemed from your just sinful ways and know how to get to heaven. We simply need to adjust our thinking to His Word, right? So sometimes we kind of deviate to the religion and do our thing. Well, sometimes we just need to back away, readjust, calibrate, and know that we need to be more in this, right? We need to make sure that we are structured in His Word, knowing exactly what we need to do based on what God says for us. So I needed a black marker. You've all seen this illustration before. I've used it almost every time we've had a lesson, and I'll get a black one next time. But it's like this. We need to have a theological framework of what God's Word says. That framework is based on what? God's ultimate authority, which is what? Our Bible, right? That is right here. That's our base. That's our frame. That is what holds everything else together. But we have to have that framework. We have to have the framework on what God's Word says from a theological standpoint so we can have a steel structure ready to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Ready to be, when things are thrown at us, the wind comes, earthquakes come, tornadoes come, hurricanes come, we are established and grounded and we are strong for whatever might come our way. Theological framework is like a steel structure, kind of like what I was talking about there. I'll read this to you. Sadly, many Christians have built their theological framework with faulty assumptions or expectations. They live with a performance-based principles rather than grace-based principles. So don't, right? Don't think of your life as I need to perform based on principles. My life should be grace-based principles. So as we get into the remainder of this particular lesson, I know we looked at lesson one, which is, you know, really the, what was that lesson one? Anybody remember? How Christianity has become so diluted, so convoluted, right? So just messed up from a worldly perspective. And then lesson two is we looked at the real Jesus, our Savior. The third one was Christians, right? The first Christians in Antioch. This particular lesson now we're looking at, okay, now I know some history there. Now I'm going to really start focusing on developing my relationship and have that theological framework. And then the next lessons from 5 all the way to 13 is going to really dig into how we can be better Christians and how we can have a better relationship with Him. So like lesson 5 digs into specifically sin and how, again, we're living the old nature. Sin comes around and we have to really fight it. But it's going to really help us determine how we can be a real Christian to succeed in this world that we live in, because these things are thrown at us all the time, right? Anyways, but that's going to be what we're going to be working on going forward. So letter A in your handout is the lens of religion. The lens of religion. In religion, and most of you could agree, that God will seem distant, impersonal, and disconnected, right? Like not attainable. Can't happen. Religion sends you in a never-ending, hopeless climb up to our God. So my example here is this. So here we have a ladder. Here we have religion. Going to church, reading my Bible, doing what I need to do. Oh, things, okay, I'm just going to church, doing my thing, okay. Yeah, okay, this is getting kind of high. So it's this constant, and this ladder's not done. You've got 3, 4s. I mean, you name it, how many ladders you got. What's going to happen to you after you get to 7 ladders up? It's getting scary. You're getting tired. You're getting discouraged. All because you don't have a relationship with Him. You're just going through the motions of religion. You're just doing your thing. You're like, okay, I want to do this next. I want to do that next. Well, okay, those are good. But if you're only relying on that, where's your relationship with the Lord? And I ask you that this morning. Where are you at this morning with your relationship with Him? Are you climbing this ladder and doing your thing and relying on religion to get you through? Or do you have a relationship with Him and really trying to focus on doing what's right, Because all those things, what we just talked about, reading your Bible, coming to church, are good, but don't rely on that. Rely on your relationship with Him. Yeah. That's what's most important. You know, don't seek approval. Yes, sir. That too.
It's like you're still under the law.
That too.
It's like some of those people that we talked about, the fair, the Catholics, where it's they're working their way. You have to have works to get to Christ.
Yes. Same thing. Yeah, exactly. You have to, and that's another topic too. It's like, yeah, they're working towards salvation. They're working towards being closer to God. But what about this? Now, let's say I am saved. I am faithful in church. I'm doing my thing, but I'm actually focusing on the religious part. Now, look at me versus all you guys down there. Yeah. I can get it done. What about you guys? Right? Looking down on people. Not good. Not good. I don't want to fall either. So then, you know, I showed you. See, then you're the opposite goes, all right? Anyways. But, yeah, performance-based Christianity is something that we need to stay away from, right? Letter B, the lens of relationship. Now, this is a biblical view. I love this here. The climbing gives way to resting. The frustration gives way to forgiveness. Exhaustion gives way to renewal. And trying gives way to yielding. Jesus becomes a friend offering new life and hope when you have that relationship with Him. God's grace and goodness crushes all the ladders that it might be in your life. I didn't actually highlight this verse, but it's good. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came unto the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Speaking of Paul, I can't attain perfection. I can't attain the perfect way of living, but I can have a perfect relationship with my Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This is my favorite verse, Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And there's some countless other verses there. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I know some of your, you know, if you had a book, you probably had more options for more verses. But, I mean, Mark chapter 10, verses 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life for a ransom of many. Great salvation verses. None of these Bible verses imply self-effort or religious ladder climbing, does it? It's all focused on Him and what He has done for us. And relying on Him and trusting on Him. And He can help you understand this. Just grasp this for a second. When you're really going through it, and I'm talking really going through it, and whatever that might be, I don't know. But whatever it could be, just know He might be putting you through that for a reason. But at the end of the day, He wants to see how you're going to come through that because He wants to know if you're going to rely on Him. Last week was pretty interesting. Just had a lot of things coming at me at once. And I said, Lord, help me. Help me through this. You can help me through this. And then He put a song in my heart. It was awesome. Just singing around, doing my thing. It was great. But yeah, just trust Him. Trust Him. Yeah. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's got to be encouraging. He's going to help you all the way through until He comes back. Man, He invites us to know Him, to love Him, to enjoy Him, and to yield to Him, but with grace, grateful obedience, right? We've got to do our part, too. We've got to be obedient. Number two, clarifying expectations. Clarifying expectations. Thank you, Micah. The last part of John chapter 10, verse 10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundant life. Well, how does that work? Okay. Abundant life. Well, let's see here. Letter A. What we expect from Jesus. What? We have expectations? what we expect from Jesus. Here are some wrong assumptions about an abundant life, right? I get saved. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. It's awesome. You're saved, you're redeemed. I'm gonna be happy for the rest of my life. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, right, Wilson? You're like, no. But that's kind of a wrong assumption for some people. So you're telling me I'm going to have an abundant life and I'm going to be happy for the rest of my entire Christian life? Well, you can be, but it's going to be tough. I mean, you're going to go through some struggles. You know, it doesn't mean that we'll never face pain, that we'll never face, you know, difficulties. But through the help of the Holy Spirit, He can make you happy through those things. But it's not going to always be happy. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be always exciting. It's going to be tough sometimes. There'll be sometimes you just want to quit and just be done and move on. Don't do it. He's done so much for you. Don't.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Number two, peace. Ah, I'm going to have peace. Yeah, it's going to be great. Happiness and peace. Well, He didn't say there's going to be absence of conflict. There's going to be still conflict in your life. There's going to be still as you're going to be struggling with. But I like what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Number three, forgiveness. I like what it says here. We presume forgiveness will lead to immediate victory over sin. Well, yeah, if your heart is right and you ask for forgiveness for a particular sin, it's good, but that sin might still kind of creep up on you again, right? And you still have to ask for forgiveness, but it's never going to be not there. It's not like, okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for saving me forgive me for this sin. That's done with. Shouldn't see that ever again. No, that could still creep up, right? And number four, the new life. Number four, the new life. We expect our new life to be much easier than our old life, don't we? It almost seems like it's sometimes kind of harder, doesn't it? Because, I mean, here you are, you want to please the Lord and you want to do what's right, but you have all this stuff that in your past life we're throwing at you. Now you've got to learn to separate from that. It says this, we don't understand that happiness and pain can coexist. We fail to see that peace doesn't remove conflict, but rises above it. We don't know that forgiveness of sin doesn't remove the struggle with sin, and our false assumptions set us up for a big disappointment with Jesus and Christianity. Don't have false assumptions of that because, I mean, things can turn for the worse, but He's there to help you through that, right? Letter B. What we experience in Jesus. What we experience in Jesus. So in our particular, you know, passage of Scripture today, in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 19, this is where Paul was also talking about his struggles, right, and what he was having to deal with. I mean, every believer experiences the same conflict as what Paul went through, right? We all do. We all experience the same thing. And there's a couple things here that I'd kind of like to, you know, point out. Number one, is joy plus hardness. Being a Christian is more than just hard. It comes with also just things that you have to deal with. It's not always comfortable, right? But you can have joy through that hardness, can't you? You can, right? It's tough sometimes when you're going through something, but you can, through your hardness, through your difficulties, you can have joy. It's an inward joy that comes with a piece of what the Lord can offer you. Number two, peace plus conflict. Peace plus conflict. Suddenly, there's a fight that wasn't there before, and our sin struggles seem to increase, doesn't it? But you can have peace through that conflict. I will never forget the time. I think it was in Kalispell. They couldn't really figure out what I was diagnosed with. They thought it was meningitis and then had seizure. Anyways, long story short, I don't know. I can't remember. I know exactly where I was standing. I think I was coming out of the hospital finally for being in an ICU for a couple days, whatever. I kind of was able to go home. And I had this overwhelming just peace knowing that the Lord's got this. Oh, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. And that's all I remember. And then I don't remember the rest. But that was conflict, but I had peace as well. Galatians 5:17. For this flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary that one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Number three, forgiveness plus failure. We all fail, don't we? But we can be forgiven, and we just go back up. Now, you need to be repentant of that sin and move away from that and step away from it and never do it again. But it kind of always kind of creeps up on us, doesn't it? So number three is forgiveness plus failure. We feel guilt, but it's good that when you start feeling guilt or shame in regards to a sin, you know that the Holy Spirit's kind of telling you, you need to get this right. Right? It's good. Romans 7:19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Even Paul himself was struggling with all this. And number four, answers plus more questions. Answers plus more questions. And I don't think this is in your handout, but you can take note if you wanted to. Answers plus more questions. Becoming a Christian presents me with big answers, but with those answers come more questions. And that's good, though, because you're learning God's word. And you're like, wow, okay, I got that answer there, but then I'm seeing this, which is also in the passage that I was learning. So we're always going to have more questions. We're always needing to grow. Don't stay stale. Always move to being closer to Him through that relationship, not through this. Does that explain some of us, your Christian walk? Does mine, right? For sure. We all deal with the same thing. Life is not always perfect as we expect it, right? Oh, man, I was going to get saved and everything's going to be perfect and great and lovely and joyful. Well, we deal exactly what Paul dealt with years ago. Number three, finding freedom in biblical realities. Finding freedom in biblical... Got that, Micah? Does it change it for you? There you go. Cool. Finding freedom in biblical realities, just like Paul also, you know, dealt with. We're saved, but we struggle. We're secure, but we're stumbling. We're accepted, but we are spiritually awkward sometimes, right? We all deal with this. Letter A, we are saved, but we still struggle, don't we? We live in this flesh. Those flesh warreth against it, and it's tough. But we are saved, and we can ask our Savior to help us through that. Letter B, we are dependent in every way. We are dependent in every way. This is where sanctification comes in, that spiritual growth, right? We are dependent in every way on Him. We are dependent 100% upon Jesus and His grace and power to get us through what we need to get through. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. His grace, write this, this is a good quote. His grace is our motivation. His grace is our motivation. Thank you, brother. Letter C, the Christian life is not hard, it's impossible. Would you agree? It is. On our own accord, it is absolutely impossible. But through a relationship with Christ, it is possible. Because all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, is possible. The Christian life, not a try-harder life, but it's a... Okay, the Christian life is not a try-harder life, it's a grow further life. It's a relationship. It's a journey, right? It's something that we strive for every single day. You know, we belong to Him. We need to just seek His heart, His love, and His acceptance to help us through it. And letter D, we are unconditionally accepted by Jesus. Amen. The Christian life, thank you, brother, the Christian life is a relationship of unconditional acceptance, unconditional, and absolute dependence on Him. John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yeah, truth releases you from faulty expectations. Amen? Amen to that. So with this particular thing, religious can leave you what? It says breathless, frustrated. You keep trying harder and harder and harder. That ain't going to get you anywhere until what? You quit, right? So you need a relationship with our Savior. Relationship is entirely different. So lastly, in conclusion, God invites you to step away from religion and enter into a relationship. Everything we will study going forward from this point will serve to educate and strengthen us in a wonderful relationship with Him. Everything we will, okay, that's already, I noted that. So going forward, that's what we're going to be studying, is different things to help us grow in our relationship with Him. Lesson 5 is reducing sin. And that is, if you would like the context of this particular lesson for next week, it is Romans chapter 3, and it's verses 10 through 26. So we'll be looking at that again next week, reducing sin. Well, I ask God to help me to have a relationship with Him, to help and lead and guide and direct others to have a relationship with Him, because that is most important, is to have a relationship with Him and not religion, because you know what this does? This doesn't do nothing. Doesn't do nothing. Right? Let's pray. Dear Father, again, I thank You so much for all that You've done for us. Give us a good next hour as Pastor brings forth the Word. I pray for more visitors. Thank You to have James this morning with us. And Lord, again, I just pray that this Sunday school lesson will be something that we can learn from, to have a relationship with You, and where You can help us get through things in our life and difficulty times, and when things are struggling, things are crazy, and they're busy, they're tough, we're going through health issues, we're going through financial issues. Lord, help us to lean on You, because we do have a relationship with You. And again, give us a good rest of the morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. You are dismissed. Keep going on these tracks. If you haven't gotten, if you need some more, grab them. We are almost there. We're going to strap our boots on. We're going to get her done. Get her done. We're going to make it happen. Yes, you're welcome, brother. Yes, sir.